Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is my good friend Daniel Decker. Daniel is a marketing strategist and the secret weapon behind some of the biggest book launches of the last couple of decades. These are my words, not his. But he's a behind-the-scenes guy that's just, I mean, unbelievable when it comes to selling books, when it comes to launching books, kind of the hired gun. He's launched books for John Gordon, Tony Robbins, Michael Hyatt, Lewis Howes, Erwin McManus, Pat Flynn, a whole lot more people. Daniel and I have known each other for years, and I'm pretty sure Daniel is, and I think we got a way back episode on this, but is the first person that taught me the concept of a launch team. And like how to use launch teams to sell books. So just like really cutting edge pioneer when it comes to all things book marketing, launches, and all that stuff. So what we want to talk about today are kind of from his eyes, what he's seen that the most successful book launches have in common and how you can kind of use these fundamental principles to have a more successful launch and to sell more books. So Daniel, great to have you here.
Hey, I'm excited to be here, Chandler. Thank you. Appreciate those kind words.
When I love to stay, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, the Stay Positive shirt, and we've got, I think we've got the book in the background. This is a book that he co-authored with John Gordon, Wall Street bestseller. Daniel, how'd you get into this whole launching books? How'd you learn it and how'd you get good at it? Cause you're really freaking good at it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this now for almost over 20 years. So a long time, but before that I owned an ad agency, like a traditional direct response ad agency where we were placing hair restoration client ads all throughout the country. And John Gordon, who's my business partner and long-term client, he lives local to me and he opened up a chain of Moe's Southwest Grills. And so I was doing marketing for John and we got to become friends. And he's like, I'm writing this book. I think, you know, I want to get you to help me market it. Do you want to help? And I'm like, sure. I don't know anything about book marketing, but let's do it. And that book went on to do really well for a first time author. And, you know, kind of then the snowball happened where it's like one author sees success and they're calling you, hey, can you do for me what you did for John? And, you know, here we are 20 years later and it's just, you know, continue to propel one after the other.
That's crazy. I somehow did not know that Moe's was part of his background and your background. And that was my favorite spot in college growing up. I remember my friends and I would always debate the Moe's versus Chipotle debate on which one's better. That's fun. Hey, what was that first book? And then it sounds like you helped him launch that book. He's obviously published a bunch of books and you've helped him market a bunch of books since then. People start calling. What was that first book? And then how has that kind of evolved in book launches that you've launched since then?
Yeah. And John's a good example because like the duration of an author, like as a brand, you know, so John's first book, his initial platform was the book was called The Energy Addict. So his whole thing was like physical and mental energy tips. So we would, you know, it literally was like, I'm on the phone calling and smiling and dialing, trying to get him on interviews with local TV and get people to promote the book. And we were doing like silly things back 20 years ago where it's like, I've got this cup that I took a photo of and it says a cup of energy and it's got John Gordon popping out of the front of it. So we're faxing that to like morning shows and it gets on the Today Show, like, you know, not because of that, but because of some other things we were doing.
Yeah.
It was crazy because it, and now who he's evolved into of selling. I mean, we're 24 books in, almost of them have become our bestsellers. 5 million plus legit through retail sales, not counting, you know, what goes through wholesale through the publisher. It's got a huge brand, one of the top leadership authorities out there because we pivoted his brand about 2 or 3 books in because he realized, he's like, I don't want to be known as, you know, just the energy guy. So we took the success that he had, stood on top of it and pivoted to who he is now. But yeah, the early days were really fun because it was, you know, I had no idea what we were doing. So we were doing things that everybody else was telling us you shouldn't do. That's kind of like you, Chandler. It's like, you know, when you're doing something and blazing a trail, a lot of people don't understand it. And then later they're like, oh, you're the man, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy until it's not. And what were some of the other, I mean, I love that. What are some of the other guerrilla marketing type things that you guys did that maybe worked, maybe didn't work, but was just outside of the box stuff to sell books?
Yeah. I mean, back then it was very different because the internet, you know, wasn't what it is today. So there was a lot more physical, there was a lot more mailing copies, you know, to people showing up and doing things. But a lot of the early things kind of led to the things that are happening now. Like you mentioned, launch teams, you know, gosh, I was trying to think, I don't want to say this in like an egotistical way, but I'm pretty sure I was the first one to ever do a launch team for a book. And that was 17 years ago. And the fundamentals of it have stayed the same, but the iteration of it, you know, has changed a lot. But a lot of those, you know, kind of things, just really, we didn't give up. I mean, there were weeks back then where nothing was happening and it was disappointing. There were times when the book was going up, and then there were times when the sales just dropped for no apparent reason. But we stuck with it. We started a newsletter for John, an email newsletter, and we've sent that out now every Monday without fail, unless there's like a holiday and we move it to Tuesday, for 20 years. And now his email list is 400,000 people strong, you know, very qualified list, but it's like, you just put in the reps, man.
Yeah. That's all. I love the consistency. There's themes here that people can learn from. There's consistency. There's thinking outside of the box. There's the guerrilla marketing of just trying stuff and reaching out to people. Like, so many lessons learned from. I want to fast forward kind of to today, because obviously you've launched a ton of, super successful books. Big picture, what's your process look like for executing a successful book launch?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I'm a bit more boutique in a sense, you know, so when I work with an author, you know, I got a text from somebody this morning that's like, you know, hey, can you shoot me your rate sheet? You know, it's like, well, I don't really have one. I mean, there's general things, because to me, a successful launch has to start with, what is the outcome? You know, what does the author legitimately want to accomplish? What is really within their range of capability? You know, because it's somebody who's brand new, first time book, unless they've got a ton of money and a ton of contacts, like the legitimacy of landing on the New York Times is, you know, like tiny. And so getting an author to understand what the real landscape is there, and then kind of building backwards of, okay, you know, based on your resources, based on what your connections are, here's what we can build and kind of stack. But I'm a big believer in leverage, you know? So like you, Chandler, when you started the self-publishing school, when you and I got together, was you were doing a summit, you know?
Yeah.
That's leverage. You know, it's like, how can you take a little rock and throw it in a pond and make a big splash? And for me, I'm always looking for, you know, maybe you don't have an email list, maybe you don't have a platform. Okay. Can you do a challenge? Can you do a summit? Can you do a something, a launch team that brings in even just 100 people, you know, to create some synergy and some splash, you know, to get it out there.
Yeah. So you touched on a couple of key things, and I want to break this into probably two parts. So you said, depending on the author's goals. So what are the, top 3, 4, 5 goals that authors come to you with? And then how do you kind of adapt your strategies based on those goals?
Well, everybody wants to be a bestseller, you know, but that's a little, you know, my first thing with most authors is demystifying that, because, and people will spend a ridiculous amount of money, you know, to just have their book as a bestseller in a, you know, in a particular category on Amazon, you know, or whatever. There's campaigns out there now where you can spend $60,000 and, you know, be a bestseller in an ebook category. But, and if that's your prerogative, great. But if you're just chasing a bestseller list, you're going to be really let down, because once you get it, you're going to realize that, yeah, it does increase your credibility, but it doesn't increase your platform, you know, unless you use it as leverage. So that's a big thing. I mean, becoming a bestseller, but there's, of course, there's legit strategies to do all that. There's others who are, you know, it's more of a legacy book. It's somebody who's got something, but they want to leave something behind and want to really make a difference. And then there's the business play. You know, there's I get a lot of business authors or people with some other type of platform, a business that they're trying to expand, and the book is a tool to do that.
Got it. So there's legacy, there's I want to be a bestseller and sell a bunch of copies, and there's using a book to grow my business. Yeah. Is there a high overlap in strategies regardless of the three of those? Like, is it like 60% the same and then the rest of what you're doing is different, or is it totally different depending on the goals that people have?
I mean, the first one with bestseller is very different, you know, because typically the legit, either someone has to understand that they've got an arc on their platform, like that, you know, the, again, if they, unless they've got a ton of financial resources to pull something off, which most don't, they've got to build and be willing to stack the deck to understand that, you know, maybe you're not going to make it on this first book and that's okay, but we can do everything to try, but, you know, think longer. People are often thinking like way short term, you know, how do I get this book? But it's not just about this book. You need to be thinking like, what are my next two or three books? Because in the publishing world, you know, this backlist titles, you know, so I heard you were having James, I don't want to date this, but you were interviewing James Clear today too.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
if James Clear's first book hadn't been ridiculous bestseller like it is, and maybe his third or fourth book took off like Atomic Habits has, all his previous titles would have gone, pew, you know, through the roof. So, you know, authors, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that many come to me with, at least, is that they're either coming at me too late, you know, they're coming, a book's publishing in November and they're coming to me in August, and this is the first time they're talking about marketing, you know, which is like really bad. Yeah. Or they're just thinking way too short term. They're either cutting corners or they're doing things that are not going to propel them perpetually long term.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. You said something earlier, which I love, which is leverage. And this is, you know, like I talk about this in my TEDx talk, like this concept of leveraged impact. I believe that books are the ultimate leverage. Like you do this work once, you create this book, and then that book goes on to impact thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even millions of people, right? Goes out, grows your impact, grows your income, and brings back business. So I think book, like a book in itself is leverage, but then you're talking about leverage that the author might have to help sell more copies of the book. So can you walk me through, like, what are the 3 to 5 things in like the Daniel Decker bag of tricks, like that you see that are like, okay, these are often leverage points that authors have that are that you would use to sell more books?
Yeah. I mean, and you know this, that a lot of authors have a hard time asking other people or to promote themselves, you know, to be, they consider it self-promotional. It's like somebody wants to write a book and they think if I write the book, you know, it's the, if I build it, they will come, you know, you might get lucky, but the reality, the reality is, it's like the messenger has to be willing to spread the message. You know, that is a big thing. I think many authors underutilize their own personal network because they're afraid to promote the book. They don't want to come across self-promotional and salesy, you know, and whatever. So it's like, number one, reconditioning your mind, you know, is leverage, because when you can get to understand that your message is going to impact people and you need to own it and you need to be out there and you spend all this time writing this book, you know, so you might as well be out there sharing it with others and asking people to promote it, you know, not in a cheesy way, you know, but it's like, if I'm friends with Chandler and I've got a new book and Chandler's got some type of network that I don't have, bro, can you help me, you know, or can you give me some advice? Can you do something? Can you shoot an email, a text, you know, whatever. So that's one, you know, is just leveraging the contacts that you have. And then another, you know, from a leverage standpoint is piggybacking on others. So I can't name names of, you know, some of the specific campaigns, but some really big ones that have brought in, you know, like massive sales and hit New York Times bestseller. A lot of the tricks that they do, you know, and you can see this with like a Dean Graziosi or Tony Robbins or others, you know, leveraging networks. So like doing a challenge, you know, or doing something that's free on the front end, so that you can get a lot of people in. And but the key on those is that you can't do them just for the end result, because people can sniff that out. Like they can tell you're being not genuine. do it because you really want to serve. You really want to, you know, do something to the community. Give it all you got, empower them, you know, uplift them, teach them. And then you've got an audience right there that you've funneled in of hopefully hundreds, thousands of people that can then, you know, buy your book. So leverage in that sense is really key. And those are things I look at, like what are opportunities that we can bring a bunch of people together in a simple way. And that's like a book launch team. And I think the third really would be, you know, just thinking with the long tail, you know, of what can you bake into your book that's going to create visual sharing? Like, can you put, you know, like, so John Gordon's books, good example. Every book that we launch with him, or most of them, we also do a downloadable action plan, which is really just a study guide, but we call it an action plan because we want people in the mindset of when you read this book, you're not just going to do a passive study guide. You're going to go through this and take action to get results. But the key is that it's structured for a group scenario. So the objective in how we promote it is, so that Chandler just doesn't buy, you know, the energy bus for himself. Chandler's going to go and buy 30 copies for his team, and you guys are going to do that action plan together.
Yeah. Love that. And it's how do you increase your viral coefficient, right? It's the Jonah Bergering, the book Contagious, talks about, you know, you can tell if a video is going to go viral by the view to share ratio. And so similarly, exactly what you're talking about, and we talk about this all the time in relation to books, is how do you turn one book sale into 1.2 or 1.5, or, I mean, in this case, 1 to 30, right? If I've got a small group, or if I've got a, you know, a football team, I know with a lot of John Gordon's books, it's sports based. It's like sports team. Or
yep.
I think Mike Todd did an amazing job of this with his book Relationship Goals. And obviously he's a pastor to a huge church. And so there's church groups around that. So I love the viral coefficient. Also, one thing you touched on is challenges. Guys, if you're looking to learn more about the challenges piece, we've got two episodes that you should check out. One with Pedro Adeo on challenges. And then also one with John Acuff about how he's using a challenge, or how he used a challenge to launch his new book. So those are a couple of good resources for you. This is a loaded question, Daniel, because it's so different. And you've obviously worked on massive, just a bunch of huge book launches. But what does success look like week one for a book launch? And maybe you can tie this into what you were alluding to before, which is like, what does it take to hit the bestseller list? But then, like, what does success look like? And what are there even the metrics that you view as success for week one?
So, I mean, for me, and probably anybody who launches books for a living, it's all about that first week, you know, or not all about, but it's a heavy concentration on that first week. And for anybody who's new to the publishing game, who might be listening, in traditional retail sales, so if whatever the day, the week that a book releases is its pub date, and then so sales that were pre-order sales leading up to that and sales that week all count and accumulate for your first week sales. So if you sold, you know, cumulative 2,000 copies before the week of pub date, and then you sold another 2,000 copies, your first week's reported sales to BookScan, New York Times, all that stuff is going to be 4,000 units. So for me, we work really hard on that pre-order campaign because despite what some people say, it is still important because pre-orders trigger Amazon ordering stock so that you don't run out of stock on pub week. It triggers traditional publishers, you can debate whether, you know, how important that is anymore in the current, you know, world we live in, but it triggers like a Barnes and Noble, you know, or others to take in more in store stock or all of that. It's all indicators. And then, you know, so you've got that first week sales, that to me is the big thing, because that reporting concentration is what goes to Wall Street Journal. You know, so for example, like a business book needs to typically have 3,000 to 5,000 copies sold in its first week cumulative sales in order to hit the Wall Street Journal business list. You've got guys that are on there that, you know, that are number one, that could be, you know, way higher than that, could be less depending on your week. New York Times varies greatly. That list is much more, so the Wall Street Journal list is tied much more to BookScan, which is kind of more directly what your retail sales are. The New York Times list, very different, much more subjective, They take indicators from retail and from especially from independent retailers all around the country, and they determine what their list is going to be. But so, for example, the business list or the hardcover advice list, let's say that that's the weekly list, or it's not hardcover anymore, the advice list for weekly. Typically a new book, like first time one, has got to be in the 12,000 plus quantity range in order to hit the list for a week. You can hit the monthly business list for, you know, 15, 20,000 units. It varies depending on the week. So for me, success for a lot of authors I work with now looks like that. Did we hit the list? Did we move enough books? But I typically work with a lot of authors where honestly, the list is a goal. It's not the only goal. Because you can do things to manipulate getting on the list.
Sure.
But most of these people I work with really care about selling books to real people, not putting books in a warehouse, you know, not doing gimmicky things, but getting, you know, like John Acuff's a good example.
Yeah.
John Acuff's new book, you know, that came out, Soundtracks. He's doing his challenge around soundtracks. The challenge may or may not sell more books now because he's like on his third iteration of it. His book launched a couple months ago. But he is creating that energy and engagement in his community so that his fans now become raving fans. And then ideally those people are going to be champions to go out there and tell other people about that book.
Yeah. That's so great. And I did an interview with Phil M. Jones. So he wrote a book called Exactly What to Say. And he had a concept to what it's exactly your point, which I thought was interesting. He said, I focus on book readers, not book sales.
Yeah.
Because book readers means they're going to share the book with someone else, which is how you increase the viral coefficient. You sell books long-term. I thought it was an interesting distinction because it's like you said, it's not just gaming the list, but it's actually getting the book in the hands of people that are going to read it.
And everybody, again, that gets back to goals, because somebody who, you know, like if they're a fiction author, they have totally different goals than a nonfiction author, you know, and it's very different strategies that
read through.
Yeah. It's very different, you know, strategies that play to that. And I don't fault someone if that's their objective, that they only care about the bestseller list and they're willing to do whatever to make it great. It's not the strategy I prefer.
It's fleeting. Hey, you talked about how important it is to sell books in week one. What are the top two or three things that you've seen really move the needle specific to week one of a book launch?
Yeah, so we almost all launches that we still do the book launch teams, because they're just effective. You know, they're effective for a number of reasons: for selling books, for, you know, creating engagement, for creating the raving fans, for getting reviews, you know, on your book right out of the gate. It used to be years ago that book launch teams were invite as many people in, give the book away for free, let them read it, you know, and a percentage of them might do something. Almost all of my launch teams now, even for smaller authors, are gated. And by that, I mean that you have to pre-order the book first. And that just puts a little skin in the game, you know, for people, and you qualify people a bit better. But that is big. Like, I haven't done a launch team in a long time that hasn't had at least 500 people, so 500 pre-orders. Most of my launch teams with bigger authors are 3,000. I had one launch team that had almost 10,000 people on it. It's crazy. I mean,
oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So those are baked in sales. You know, those are sales. And so a strategy, you know, in that is that you get them into the group. Don't just manage them in Facebook. Also send emails to them, you know, as well. Yeah. But you're nurturing them. You're pouring into them. They're your community. You're teaching them. You're serving them. You're doing whatever you can. And then when it gets closer to book launch time, you just directly are asking them, hey, would you go buy another copy to give to a friend? Would you leverage them in a way that makes it exponential.
Yeah. And the most important thing there is for them to leave a review, I'm assuming. And then there's additional copies or.
Yeah. The most important thing is that they pre-ordered the book to be a part of the team.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one. Because another strategy with this. So when an author is doing a pre-order campaign, book launch team can now become a part of your pre-order campaign because it's an added value.
Cool.
You know, on my website, buy the book today and you're going to get these three bonuses and you're going to be included in my book launch team where you're going to get direct access to me, you know, over the next X.
Smart.
So we've been doing that a lot. And the way that we've scaled that is that, you know, you on your pre-order offer, running ads to that page to get it to, because you can't run ads necessarily like to Amazon and get it to convert because you don't get tracking info. But on your own landing page where you've got an opt-in form. So you can make it like a funnel.
Anything else? This is so great. Anything else that you've seen work extremely well for moving books in week one?
Yeah. I mean, the big splash stuff, like doing a challenge tied around your book or doing a summit, you know, or something like that is big. Those are really, you know, some pre-order bulk sales. You know, if you are an author, and it doesn't have to be that you're just a business author, you can be a fiction, you know, author as well, but don't minimize, you know, that maybe you don't have friends with big pockets, because somebody who can buy 10 books is 10 more books than you had, you know?
Yep.
So pushing pre-orders, if you are in a nonfiction realm, you know, where you're a business author or you've got something to leverage. One of the mistakes that a lot of authors make in the beginning is that they value their content more than they should, because obscurity is the enemy of the author.
You know?
It's the biggest challenge, because it's like, I don't want to give away my best content. You know, I don't want to do this. Like, no, man, you give away the best stuff first and then they buy the book.
Yes.
It's like a trailer to a movie. They show the best scenes. But yes. Same type thing. If you can give away a keynote, if you can give away a Zoom virtual in exchange for someone buying books, you know, anything you can do, especially in that launch window of your book, it is an investment in your future. It is an investment in that book being propelled, because it's going to come back to you.
So good. We've talked about week one, and you've alluded to some longer term book sales stuff, but what specifically do you do, or how do you look at it to, how do you set up books to sell well after the launch?
Write a good book. Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, there's the books, no matter what any marketer can tell you, I mean, there's tactical things you can do to increase sales, but the books that go viral, it's hard to predict, you know, because you can do formulaically some of the things that are always, you know, that should work and then they don't. You've got some books that you're like, how did that take off? But really, you are thinking about things that can bake in, you know, to the book. I don't know if I have one. I might have it. So I try to encourage authors to put things in books that can be, probably not going to get to it right here, but basically like in the book, you create some sort of carry through or marketing. So maybe you've got in the back a 10 rules to whatever, and they can go and download and download it on your website, put it up in their office. Now that becomes that thing in the office, becomes a thing for everybody else. It's small things like that really make, you know, a big difference.
You guys have done that so well with John Gordon's books. I'm thinking the 10 characteristics of a team player or something, I want to say. And that's for, I think, his book, The Hard Hat. Yeah. Just a simple example. I remember, this is such a great, I mean, this totally proves your point. I mean, you know, I love college football, Clemson football, Dabo, all that stuff. And I remember watching an interview and it flashed on the screen behind it was someone was on ESPN interviewing one of the players, and it was the 10 characteristics of a team player. And I was like, oh, I want that. Cause I'm like, and it just flashed. And so I didn't see him. And I'm like, all right, I need to search that. Cause I want to show this to my team of like, and start embedding those culture,
We try to make, if there's the opportunity to influence the author before they've, you know, created the content, you know, so like, you know, Dabo, speaking of him, the coffee bean was a story that Damon West and John Gordon did, a small like fable book, but that coffee bean becomes an icon. It becomes something associated with the book. Clemson's got shirts with Be a Coffee Bean. You know, it's like all of those things create a brand, you know, create synergy around it. Not all books can do that, but if you can bake it in, you know, it's like the characters in Harry Potter, you know?
That. Yeah. So good, man. So good. Cause I remember Googling that team thing, and it literally, I couldn't find it. And then finally I landed on that poster and I'm like, oh, this is that Hard Hat book. Mm-hmm. And then now I shared it with the team. And
and that's just, you know, obviously one thing of long-term sales. Like if you want to get like nitty gritty, you know it, but others listening might not, you know, so a big thing in the industry is to do a free plus book funnel, you know, seen those where it's, and that can be a long-term, you know, engine. Like if you can get the metrics of that right, so it's web page, free book, just pay shipping. But then when you go to the next page, it's typically an upsell where they're going to try to sell you like a audio program. And really the objective on that is like whatever's on the back page neutralizes the ad cost and the cost of the book and that sort of thing. So it's a percentage. But once you get that metric, like I've got some book funnels for some big name people that are running 4 years now, you know, because it's, once you get that dialed in, you just run ads to it all day long and it keeps selling your book.
That's so good. Daniel, I could talk about this stuff forever. Your wealth of knowledge. So I guess a couple final questions as we wrap up here. Knowing what you know now, what would you tell the Daniel from 20 years ago or the other Daniels that are out there trying to market their book successfully? Like kind of what would be your parting piece of advice?
I mean, the big thing is I see a lot of people that are misinformed of what success is in publishing. You know, they're going for bestseller lists. They're taking short-term approaches to things. They're cutting corners. They're spending a ton of money on stuff that really doesn't matter. You know, so for me, for most authors, it's be true to, you know, who you are, what you're trying to accomplish, who you're trying to reach, why you're writing the book. Like that is the big thing. And then thinking long-term, you know, it's not, if your book has a bad launch week, was it Rachel Hollis's, you know, book didn't hit the New York Times list for like a year or two, you know, whatever your initial launch is, doesn't mean it's a failure. If you believe in that thing, you just got to keep pounding it, you know, and keep on going. Like people look at John Gordon now and they're like, oh, you know, 5 million copies or whatever. Hey, I remember the first year or two, John and I driving to South Florida for like a conference that he was supposed to speak at, and no one was in the room, literally no one. And now John's doing like, you know, 10,000 person events and stuff, but it's like, you just, again, like from the beginning of this interview, you got to do the reps.
Yeah. That's so good, man. So good. Daniel, this has been a blast. Where can people go to find out more about what you do, to check out the book? You're always booked up with clients, so you're super picky.
I know. That's what, before this, you're like texting me on something, and I'm like, man, I'm the plumber with leaky pipes because I don't do all of my business is referral. Like, you know, so it's like I don't market myself super well, but danieldecker.net is how you can reach out to me. I'm happy to, you know, answer some questions if I can. I've got time. Like Chandler said, I'm you know, pretty booked up on client stuff pretty often. But, you know, if it's a right fit, I'm always willing to talk to somebody. And at least if I can't help you, I can point you in the right direction.
Awesome. Daniel, thank you so much.
Hey, man. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.